All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Training camp on the horizon edition. Although it's not much the horizon anymore. We're only a few days away, folks. And it's been a long hiatus for the free stretch. Got some things done over the summer. Had some summer camps for my kids. Had some times when they were home with me all day. Did some activities and all that stuff. It's been fun, okay? But if you know me and if you've listened to this show before, you know that the rhythms of the calendar always dictate how I feel. And this time of year, you know, July is an okay month. I like the summer. I like swimming pools. I like all those things. But when I think of July, and really when I think of the month of August too, I think of the word anticipation more than anything, because you're not some distant, dark, cold, lonely void away from the football season anymore. We can see it now. And just to give you some day counts here, 4 days, and I'm recording this on Thursday, okay? You may be listening to this on Friday or the weekend or something. If you are, we're even closer. But 4 days till rookies report to One Buck Place. 5 days till everyone else reports to One Buck Place. 14 days, 2 weeks from tonight, the Hall of Fame game between the Jets and Browns with uniforms and referees and a scoreboard and real live football, everything, painted lines on the field, the whole thing. 22 days till the Bucks preseason opener against the Steelers at Raymond James Stadium. 49 days until the NFL season opener on Thursday Night Football, the defending champion Chiefs at home against the Lions. And 52 days as we sit here right now from the Bucks being in Minnesota on that Sunday at 1 p.m. for the Week 1 opener. So a lot's going to happen between now and then. There's going to be a lot to be talked about between now and then. Some teams have already started camp with people reporting and things like that. There is actual football-related content taking place on certain fields around America. Never mind all the college and high school teams getting ready. I love it. This time of year is so much fun, and obviously anticipation is such a big part of it. So on the show today, you know, obviously we're going to look at training camp, getting ready to start, tell you how I feel about the upcoming season. Going to go over some things that have happened since our last show. We haven't done a show since, I believe, the draft show might have been our last one. Haven't done much since then. And just kind of get everything settled. You know, it's like I said, people go in and out of town. It's summertime. If you have kids, they're getting ready to, you know, start school back up. All these things, you go on these trips. We're still, you know, I might go somewhere one more time. I don't know, for a couple days with my family. We'll see. Point is, we're tying up loose ends now because it's going to be football and it's going to be on in a very short time. So the main thing I've been thinking about with this football season and with this Bucks team specifically is, you know, the last 3 years, and really two of the last 3 years, but even last year, even though it didn't end well, it's not always about how it ends, right? It's more about, to me, how you feel looking forward to it, not just the season as a whole, but even week to week. So the best thing as a fan, always, obviously you want to win the championship, but the best thing I always say when you're a fan of a team is your team just being good and being in the middle of it. The games are more exciting. People you know, your buddies, whoever, they're more excited for the games. People are like, yeah, let's watch the game. Hey, come over to my house, this or that. Hey, this one mattered. You're in a playoff race. You're in a division race. You're in a conference championship race. Whatever it is, any sport, and we're going through it with the Rays right now. It's just much more fun this way. And the Rays aren't playing well right now, but the point is they're one of the best teams in baseball. They still have the best record in the American League along with the Orioles. Point is, import, right? Stakes. That's the biggest thing with this stuff is stakes. I just want to feel, man. And when you have a good team, and you know you're not going to win every year, but you have a chance and the games feel more important and you're just generally more excited and it's just what? What is it at the end of the day? More entertaining. And that is ultimately what all of this is entertainment. So when you go into a season and your team is bad, you know they're bad before you even set foot on the field and you just kind of have that, I'll always watch the games, okay? Always. But we know that feeling too and it's not a good feeling, okay? So the way I look at this Bucks team is this. There's a lot of unknowns. It's the first year post-Brady. it's the first year after a three-year run where even though they didn't win last year, they had three seasons where the games felt important, three seasons where you felt like they had a chance to make a run, even last year, which ended up being bad. Week by week, we were all into it because we felt as if we had a contender at that point. And they did go on to win the division. Of course, the playoff game did not go well, but it was fun. And of course, the year before that, they came within a hair of the Super Bowl. The year before that, they won the Super Bowl. This team doesn't feel that way, but I still have anticipation. I'm still excited. One, it's because of such high variability. I mean, you could seriously tell me a range of records about this Bucks team that wouldn't totally shock me. Like, I think anywhere, I don't do like game by game and win season total predictions. The Vegas over-under is 6.5, by the way. So the Bucks are predicted, not predicted, but Vegas thinks, people think the Bucks will win 6 or 7 games out of 17, 6-10, or excuse me, 6-11, 7-10, something like that. And that may well be what happens. But you could seriously tell me anywhere from 4-13 to 10-7. That's a 6-win spread. And if you told me right now, like you came from the future and said the Bucks are going to finish, and you said anything between 4-13 and 10-7, I wouldn't be that surprised. If you said they were going to go 11-6, I'd be surprised, or better. If you said they were going to go 3-14 or worse, I'd be surprised. Nothing from 4-13 through 10-7 would surprise me at all. It really wouldn't. Because you can look at this roster and talk yourself into reasons why they might be good, and look at certain things where it's like, hey, you know, they had this and they still have it, or this thing they didn't have, they're a little better with now. And we'll go over them. But there are also plenty of reasons you can look at this roster and go, oh, God, we suck. It could go either way. I don't know. So I like the not knowing part. You factor in on top of that an NFC South, and that's the first thing you're always focused on is your division, because if you can win your division, no matter what else you do, you got a shot. And you factor in an NFC South that doesn't exactly look like gangbusters. There is quarterback turnover all over the division. All four teams are starting a quarterback that was not their number one starter, or at least for the bulk of last year. I mean, you've got Derek Carr for the Saints, along with a defense the Saints had that had last year 5 guys in their 30s playing or starting at least 10 of the games, and I think 4 of those 5 guys are back. It's an older defense, a new quarterback, and a guy who's, you know, okay, but not like... Derek Carr doesn't scare you. You've got the Panthers with Bryce Young, number one overall pick, new head coach Frank Reich. I really like what they're doing up there. I'm not sure it's going to happen right away, but I like what they're doing there. And then Atlanta's got Desmond Ridder now. So no one knows what the hell's going on, and nobody seems like they're all that good. And while I wouldn't exactly say the Bucks are some locked-in favorite, they certainly aren't any worse off, it seems like, than this group. I mean, they fit in with this where if they won a few games and they win their division games, they could maybe do something. Who the hell knows? And again, it might all blow up in their face. That's why there's such variability. But when you add up all those factors, my point is, it does not feel like a season where you're already halfway bummed out before it even starts. At least I don't feel that way. Maybe some of you do. And if you do, well, listen, the free stretch is going to be here every week, all year, and we're going to talk you through it, okay? And if you ever want to get a hold of me, like I always say, email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BobbyGameday. That's email. I'm not great with, I will respond to your email eventually, but I'm not great with email. But Twitter is great. If you want to get me on Twitter, @BobbyGameday, same thing. You can always get me there. I want to thank, as always, the Joes for giving me this platform. And it's great to be back doing the show. Like I said, now that we're getting into the rhythms here, and soon we'll get into game week rhythms in a couple of weeks, it'll be a fun thing we do. I always try and get it out on Thursdays. Sometimes I'm late and it gets out on Fridays. It doesn't matter as much right now anyway because there's no games. But once there's games, I don't want to get it out too late because once a game happens, then you know the show that you did last week doesn't matter anymore. Right now we got some time. So looking at the 2023 Bucks, and the first thing everyone looks at, and the first thing everyone's been talking about is obviously the quarterback situation. And everyone, I can tell you right now, it's going to be a thing in the media. It's going to be a thing in training camp. Todd Bowles is going to have to answer questions about it before and after each practice every day, on and on and on, until they name somebody. But it looks like, to me, for all intents and purposes, that Baker Mayfield's going to be the starting quarterback. Either way, there's still going to be a bunch of questions. Oh, what about Kyle Trask? Have you picked a starter yet? Why haven't you picked a starter yet if you haven't? And when will you pick a starter? And all that. It's going to be constant, okay? You're going to see it reported on everywhere, Joe Bucks fan, everywhere else, Twitter, TV, radio, newspapers, everything. And to me, and I've said this before, I said it last year too, week 17 when the Bucks had a throwaway game. And I was like, okay, well, and I never like losing. I mean, I always want the Bucks to win. But that game in week 18 against the Falcons last year didn't matter. They were locked into their playoff spot and nothing could change it. So I thought, okay, hey, great spot here. And I know Brady is who he is and he wants to play. And I know they had to consider that. But I was thinking, you know, Kyle Trask, we know so little. They never seem to give him a chance. He's not even active for the games. Why has he been the number three quarterback instead of the number two quarterback if they really trusted him and drafted him in the second round? Even in the preseason, he barely gets in except for the most garbage of garbage times with, you know, fourth string guys. But here we are, I said. Finally, week 18, game that doesn't count. Real live NFL experience, not preseason. We're going to see what Kyle Trask is made of and what the Bucs' plans are. They want to get a look. And they barely used him in that game either. They put him in, again, same as a preseason game, very late in the game. They went Brady, then they went Gabbert for way longer than I thought they were needing to because we knew Gabbert wasn't going to be here this year. And then finally they throw Trask in, like, yeah, okay, put him in too. Like, it's like an afterthought. And so, like, I can't get my head around the idea that they think he's good. They haven't treated him like they think he's good. The only thing they have done with Kyle Trask that makes me think they think he's good was when they literally drafted him in the second round. And since they did that, they have treated him like they drafted him in the fifth round or the sixth round or the seventh. I don't get it. But I think they think he sucks because that's how they've acted. And then you bring in a guy like Baker Mayfield who, say what you want about him, and certainly, you know, he's had his issues, especially with turnovers. But he's got a little bit of pedigree. He's got some experience. He's got a lot of experience as a starter in the NFL. And it just doesn't feel like they brought him in for this to be a competition. It feels like Baker Mayfield's the starting quarterback. We'll see for sure. Nothing's official, but that's what it feels like. And then when you look at what they're going to end up doing in training camp, and Rick Stroud, the Bucs beat writer for the Tampa Bay Times, has pointed this out, you know, people say, and Joe always, the Joes on Joe Bucks fan, they always refer to like the Kyle Trask mob and the people who just, you know, keep saying he's being treated unfairly and give him a shot. And listen, I'm a Gator, so I'm one of those people you would think would be predetermined to like stand, as the kids say, to stand for Kyle Trask. But I'm not. I mean, I'm not that excited about him either. But there are a lot of those people who are and who feel like he's getting a raw deal. And what Rick Stroud pointed out was what ultimately matters is what this team does in the regular season. So if you know who your starter is going to be, shouldn't you be giving him the bulk of, if not all of, the number one reps in practice to get ready for that game in Minnesota? Are you doing your team a disservice if you split the reps or try to have some sort of competition, even knowing who's probably going to win it? And now you've robbed the guy who will eventually start week one of reps that he should have been getting all along. If you genuinely don't know who your number one is, that's one thing. Then you have to have a competition. But if you kind of know, but you're like, oh, well, we got to give Trask a shot, are you robbing Mayfield of reps he should be getting to get ready? Especially since he's completely new to the team. It's a fair point. And we don't know who, I mean, when training camp starts and we can see the practices and things like that, we'll see who's getting the bulk of the reps and things like that. But that's the number one thing people are going to look at. Obviously, the quarterback situation, you don't need me to tell you that. It's going to be all over the place constantly as a story until there's a starter name. More important, I shouldn't say more importantly, as importantly to me, and on Joe Bucks fan, there was a little piece on this earlier today when I look at the 2023 Bucks. And you look at all the different positional units, and not just specific positions, but just parts of the team, you know, up front, linebacker, secondary as a whole, passing game, running game, O-line. And the Buccaneers, in 2020 and 2021, when they had a great deal of success winning a Super Bowl, getting to the NFC divisional round the year after that, to go with their offense that was doing well under Brady, they had a lot of pass rush, not just sacks, but they were generating hurries and pressures, and they just generally had a good pass rush, a reliable pass rush. And obviously, some of those guys are still here, some aren't. But the pass rush last year was, I don't want to say non-existent, but much, much off the pace, let's say, of what it was the couple of years before. A lot of people think Ndamukong Suh not being there was a reason for that. And maybe that had something to do with it. They certainly didn't seem as nasty as they had the prior 2 years. Whatever it is, doesn't matter anyway. Here we are now, 2023. What kind of pass rush is this team going to have? Because, you know, some of these guys aren't babies anymore. Joe Tryon Shoyinka, you know, he's not some rookie who's feeling it out anymore. Logan Hall, do you remember that we had Logan Hall? I'm not trying to rip him, but he was, you know, the first pick of the second round a couple years ago. So, like, basically a first-round pick. A little later than Kalijah Kancey was. But my point is, like, they had him. And he made some play. I don't make it sound like he was terrible, but, like, he forgot he was on the team a lot of the part of last year, right? Like, and that was his rookie year. Okay, maybe he'll adjust. Supposedly he's been in the weight room a ton this year in the offseason. You've got Vita in the middle up front. Okay, great. That needs to, and he needs to step up more, but that's at least you can count on him to be who he's been. But then, yeah, what do you, and then on the edges, of course, like I said, Joe Tryon Shoyinka, Shaq Barrett. There's a couple of depth guys like Pat O'Connor, Anthony Nelson, the other guy they drafted, Diaby. I mean, okay, fine. Like, I'm worried. That's the thing I'm worried about. Like, because I'll tell you this right now, and you can talk about so many different things that are important in the game of football, and you wouldn't be wrong about any of them. But pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. I always say this: pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. Like that. Just anytime the Bucs have ever been good, right? It's not just the Bucs, but since that's the team we follow, think back. Anytime the Bucs have ever been good, right? That was. It was never like, oh, our pass rush is a little weak, but we still have a great defense. No, like that. I don't even care about the other, like pass rush. So I'm a little worried about that. Yeah, let's put it this way. Guys are going to have to make some big leaps, like Joe Tryon Shoyinka, like Logan Hall. Shaq Barrett coming off his injury, we'll see what he's got. You know, if he's, it's easy to put names on paper and draw the little diagram. Here's our front seven, but are those the same guys that, like, is Shaq Barrett going to be the same guy? Is Tryon Shoyinka going to be better? Is Logan Hall going to be better? Is Vita going to stay healthy? All these things. Because to me, that's a big question mark on the defense. Secondary looks good. I like what we got at corner, I like what we got at safety. You know, obviously Levante David and Devin White, and a lot will be said about them, especially Devin White, big year for him. And we all know what happened in the offseason with him as far as his desire for a better contract and things like that. But pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. And on the offensive side of the ball, same thing. I mean, like we know about the Baker Mayfield thing. Nobody knows for sure what's going to happen. We'll have to wait and see, but I like our receivers. Chris Godwin's coming off of a bounce back year where he wasn't, even though he was able to play again, he was still recovering from that injury, it seemed like. Will we get 100% grade A Chris Godwin for this season? Mike Evans is still Mike Evans, and on and on. Rashad White, premier back now, and I'm not as worried about that. I'll talk about the whole, there's been a whole thing the past week about running backs and how maligned they are and how they're not getting treated or paid fairly, and on and on and on. And I'm half expecting to see like Sally Struthers show up on my TV doing like a charity announcement. You know, will you help NFL running backs? Look in your heart. I've said a bunch of stuff about running backs on this show before that I'll repeat some of later on in the show. But my point is Rashad White, fine. That's not going to be what makes or breaks this year. What worries me though is that Todd Bowles thinks it is. Because that's another thing that I want to, you know, Byron Leftwich isn't here anymore. Dave Canales is the offensive coordinator now. That could be an upgrade. I mean, Byron Leftwich, I think we underestimate the damage done to the offense last year by the coaching staff. Like, I thought that was a hatchet job of offensive coaching last year. By who? I don't know. That's the thing. We speculate, is Byron Leftwich really like this? He didn't used to be like this. Is Todd Bowles secretly telling him to be like this? You know, we don't know, but that offense was neutered. And maybe some of it was Tom Brady, like we talked about many, many times on the shows during last season. Is Brady like insisting that they literally don't hold the ball for more than a millionth of a second because you can't run an offense that way, but maybe he doesn't want to get hit? I don't know what it was. But that offense last year, it wasn't necessarily supposed to be the best in the league, but with the people they have and still have on that offense, it should have been a lot better than that. And that was a hatchet job, okay? So is that going to be better, or is Todd Bowles convinced that we need to run the football more and all the other old school outdated stuff that doesn't get you anywhere, but that some coaches still cling to, especially defensive minded head coaches? What do you have to do to win football games in the NFL? If you're serious about it, not if you're trying to do some philosophical bull bleep or you think you can do it the old school way. No, what do you have to do if you're really a team that's like trying to win something of any significance, okay? I've said it before, I will say it again right here. The mantra, okay, of offense in the NFL. You must effectively and aggressively pursue points at all times, period. You should never be thinking, oh, well, I want to get our time of possession up, or, oh, let's play a field position game. You get the football in your hands on your side of the ball. Your offense is on the field. You are trying to score a touchdown, and you're trying to do it as quickly and efficiently as you can. Points, 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 points. And the Bucs weren't doing that last year, right? I don't mean they weren't successfully doing it. I mean they weren't trying to do it. Didn't even look like they were trying to do it. Looked like they were hoping and maybe move the sticks a few times here and there. It looked like they were happy to set up third and manageable and see if they could pick it up. That's bull bleep, okay? Aggressively and efficiently pursue points at all times. Say it again, okay? So this offense didn't look like that last year. In 2020 and 2021, it did. Now, like I said, I don't know how much of a difference Dave Canales is going to make. I'm not sure how much of a problem it was that was Byron Leftwich's and how much of it goes up to the top. I don't know. I'm serious. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend I know. But we all know what we saw. And so if they run that type of offense again this year, and I almost feel like a sucker for getting as wrapped up in it last year as I did, when if I had known in advance it was going to be that way, I wouldn't have even gotten upset. I wouldn't have gotten that invested emotionally because I would have known right from the start. If you pull that crap, if that's how you think you're going to do anything in the NFL, you're already pissing into the wind. You might as well just shut it down right there. Seriously. And that, if that happens again, at least we'll recognize it sooner, if nothing else. I hope it doesn't. And listen, everybody's trying to do it. Not everybody's going to do it well. I'm not saying you'll win just because you tried, but you won't win if you don't try, and the Bucs didn't try last year. So that's another thing I'm looking at. The offensive line, you know, obviously Tristan Wirfs moving over to left tackle is the big thing. Some people think it's significant. Some people think it's a big nothing burger. I think he can handle it athletically, and it's not like he's never played it before. He played left tackle in college a few times, and, you know, the NFL's not college. I get that, but I think the Bucs, I trust that the Bucs in that particular department are doing what they think is best. I mean, they had the option of keeping Wirfs where he was and just going and getting a left tackle. They opted to do this instead. They're going to do Luke Getteke at right tackle. I like the Matt Filer pickup in the guard in the offseason, so he'll be the left guard, probably Jensen at center. Cody Mauch, the draft pick from North Dakota State at right guard. That could be a decent offensive line. Obviously, you got a couple of guys that are newcomers there. And Getteke had some moments where it wasn't great last year, but at right tackle, he might be better, a little more natural for him. So, I mean, you know, like I said, the Bucs aren't terrible, I don't think. Some people think they're terrible. I don't think they're terrible. And I don't think they're going to be bad enough to get someone like Caleb Williams or Drake May or somebody. That's looking way down the road. I'm not worried about the draft next year. But my point is, I'll say it one more time, a range of records anywhere from 4-13 to 10-7 wouldn't completely stun me. I think it's probably somewhere in the middle and maybe even closer to the higher end of that range, but none of those would stun me. Anyway, we got a long time to worry about what the Bucs record is going to be right now. Let's just get everybody into camp and hopefully have an injury-free camp, and we'll be getting all into that starting next week. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com is the email address. On Twitter, you can get me at BobbyGameDay. Oh, I forgot. The fridge schedules. I'm going to start typing the fridge schedule up. You guys that have done it before know what I'm talking about. For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, I type up the Bucs schedule. I put little color logos. I do the whole thing real nice. It basically prints on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. If you want it, you email me. I send you the file. You print it out. Color print recommended, okay, to really let it all pop. And then you can put it on your fridge. You can put it in your office, anywhere you want, basically. And this goes back to the early days when I was a kid. And my grandmother, my dad's mom, Grandma Celia, I called her Grandmama, she always had the schedules up on her fridge. She was a big, my uncle and my dad coached high school football, so whoever that team was, that'd be one. Then she'd have FSU, because she went to FSU, and then she'd have the Bucs. So all three schedules would be up there, and she'd write little X's and O's, X for a win, zero for a loss, and then the score. And as a kid, like, that was when I knew it was football season, when I saw that fridge schedule go up. And she usually just clip them out of the newspaper. But I've taken it to another level now. So, like I said, email. I'm not going to send it just yet because I haven't done it yet, but it only takes me a little bit. And I'll put you in a folder. Then when I print or type the schedule up, I'll send it to everybody. BobbyGameDay@yahoo.com. Speaking of the old days, by the way, I guess everybody saw the video and the release that the Bucks did about wearing the orange uniforms. That's going to be on October 15th versus the Lions. I had heard some rumors that maybe it was going to be a modern take on the old uniforms, and I immediately became enraged. Luckily, those proved to be false, and it's just an absolute classic copy of what the Bucks always wore up until 1997. And I'll say this again, it's the best uniform. And maybe I'm biased, okay? Maybe I'll try and be more objective. It's one of the best uniforms in sports history. It's my favorite sports uniform of all time. It's the perfect uniform, in my opinion. Like, it's one of those uniforms I look at and I literally wouldn't change anything. It looks so good even today. And honestly, see, here's my thing. I don't like to get all wrapped up in associating uniforms with wins and losses. This was the problem with the orange uniforms. Everybody was like, oh, we need a fresh this. I just get reminded of losing. I don't, that has nothing to do with any. Uniforms have nothing to do with wins and losses. You should wear the best and most good-looking uniform, period, you can. Now, what the Bucks ended up changing to and what they've worn now for over 25 years is also good, save for that little period a few years ago when they let Nike stage a nutty and, you know, go Nike on things. And whoever was in charge of that should have been fired. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Point is, other than that, the red and the pewter is a good look, and I like the Bucks uniforms. But it'll never be the orange uniforms. And you notice I'm referring to them as orange. I think creamsicle, people say creamsicle all the time. I object to that phrase. It sounds a little bit patronizing. It sounds a little bit condescending. It makes it sound like, oh, those cute little creamsicle things, how nostalgic. No, no, it was orange. And I think people sometimes, and they're not maybe trying to sound that way, but it's kind of a derisive way of referencing those old uniforms. And if it was up to me, they never would have changed. If it was up to me, the Bucks would be like the Packers and the Raiders and the Steelers and the Colts. Teams you look at a highlight or an old clip from like 1965 and the uniform looks the same then as it does today. It's a beautiful thing when that happens. That's how the Bucks would have been too. With that said, I do like what they changed to, and obviously it's been around now for even longer than the original uniforms were. But the throwback day on that October 15th game against Detroit, that's going to be a special one. I still remember the 2009 game, the first time they did this. It was 2009. It was Raheem Morris's first year. They had Josh Freeman. The Bucks were like 1-8 or something when they did it. And I remember they had a big comeback win against the Packers in those uniforms. I think Sammy Strotter might have been involved. I'm trying to go back through the years. But anyway, I remember getting extremely, I'm not exaggerating here, I got extremely emotional that game. I was at the game. The Bucks came back and won. It was almost like they copied everything down to a T, including the team record, because they were, I remember so many Bucks games over the past, like, you know, like in the 80s and 90s, where they'd have an amazing comeback win, a really exciting thriller, and I'd be so happy. And I'd forget that they were, you know, 2-7 or something when that happened. And that's exactly what that 2009 throwback game felt like, because they were the same type of team and they came back and won. And I still have my orange shirt they gave away that day. And they've done it a few times since then. They didn't do it for a while. And then they had the one shell rule with the helmets. And that rule has been lifted now, so they can do the throwbacks again. I would have only lifted that rule for throwbacks, by the way. I don't agree with teams having alternate helmets, but that's another discussion. Either way, October 15th versus the Lions, it's going to be fun. The Lions are another team that used to look beautiful in the 80s and 90s until... There's always people that think they can do better than something that... Like, how do you look at those Lions uniforms from the 80s and 90s, like Barry Sanders, and say, hey, we can improve on this? You can't, and they haven't. And now they've got all these weird striping and piping and all the crap Nike likes to do. Vikings are another example. And the Vikings are going to be wearing their throwbacks, I think week one against the Bucks, I think I read. And again, same thing. Beautiful. Simple, purple helmet, purple jersey. Somebody looked at that and said, ah, we need to improve on this. We need to change this up. And some people just like change for change's sake, and they don't care how it looks. And it's unfortunate we have to work around those people in society. But anyway, that'll be coming up in, I think it's week six after the bye week when they play the Lions. That'll be a lot of fun. And in keeping with the same theme, because this happened since last time we did a show. I remember sending out a tweet at the end of the season last year after the Dallas game. And it wasn't like we knew for sure, but I kind of thought like Gene Deckerhoff had been hinting that he might not be back. And I was like, oh man, this might be Gene Deckerhoff's last game. It wasn't. He is back for the 2023 season. That alone, no matter what happens this year, makes me happy. Because there's few things like that where I can think back to when I was a kid, like 10, 11, 12 years old. And I remember hearing Gene Deckerhoff's voice on the radio and then still have that same thing going now today at age 43. So I'll absolutely take another year of Gene Deckerhoff or more, but he'll be back for the 2023 season. I was really happy to hear that as well. As far as what's going on around the league, as we get ready for camp, obviously more news will start happening when more teams are out there on the field, but the big news, not even news, but the big story this week, I guess I should say, is that running backs are unhappy that they're not getting enough respect and that their contract situations aren't where they want them to be, and they generally feel as if they're being treated as if they're expendable, and they're being treated as if they don't matter that much, and financially the compensation's not on par with other positions. And if you've heard this show at all, you know that I've said this before. And it's not me saying this. I mean, this has been something that's been said for a while. Hey, here's what's happening. The people some of you, so derisively and mockingly call nerds and the numbers geeks, the analytics geeks. Basically, everybody is now realizing that what they've said all along is true and they were right all along. Only now, well past the stage when anybody who was paying attention realized it, now everybody else is realizing it too. Here's the thing with running backs. It's not complicated, okay? It's not that running backs don't matter. It's not that you don't want to have a good running back. Of course you want to have a good running back. It comes down to value added, okay? So think about the value added to a team, their ability to win a game, the way the league is structured right now, between having a top five running back, whoever those are, that doesn't matter what you think, just a top five running back versus the value added from getting a free agent off the waiver wire. It's not that big of a difference, right? Like, it's not that big of a difference. Every other position, think of the difference between adding a top five quarterback and a waiver wire free agent quarterback. Think about the difference between adding even a top five wide receiver and a waiver wire free agent wide receiver. Now a top five running back and a free agent running back. The value added is not there, and teams have figured that out, so they're being compensated accordingly. And it's not running back's fault. I do feel bad for them. But the league has simply figured out, and now fans are figuring out what this was known all along. The analytics guys figured this out years ago. And that's why I always say, not that running backs don't matter, not that I don't care who the Bucs running back is, it's just that you can get them anywhere, okay? And the other thing about running backs that's unlike other positions is that past performance with other positions is kind of an indicator of future results, right? I mean, this guy's been really good, so he's going to be really good more until he gets old or out of his prime or whatever. But with running backs, it's the opposite. Just because they've done really well in the past doesn't mean they're going to do well. And in fact, it can be negatively correlated. If a guy's been used up and there's an issue, you know, I mean, those guys get beat up. And yeah, it's a tough life. They get used up and spit out. They don't get paid the big contract. By the time they're ready for their second contract, they're damaged goods. That sucks. It sucks, okay? And if they want to take some steps to address it, they can try and, you know, artificially rig things with the next CBA to just favor running backs more. But the cold reality is they are valued exactly as they should be. And what is value? Think about value. Okay, what is value in life? There's two things that basically go into the value equation. For any, this isn't just sports, I'm talking about in general. There's how good something actually is, like how good or useful or just high quality something is. That's one. But what's the other, probably more important factor in value? How hard it is to get, right? Scarcity. So that's the part where running backs don't really have much going for them, because the scarcity, there is no scarcity. You can get a running back. You lose your stud running back. The New York Giants lose Saquon Barkley. They can go get a guy and he could be end up being just as good or close to it or do just as much to affect the outcome of games, maybe is the way I should put it, rather than saying just as good. Yeah, I'm sure the Browns love having Nick Chubb or whatever, but if they had to go get somebody else, and like with the Bucs, we had Ronald Jones, fine. Leonard Fournette, fine. Now it's Rashad White, fine. Whatever. Just I'm not saying I don't care. Like, if you hand the ball off on first and 10, I'd rather it be second and 4 than second and 8. I mean, of course, yeah, anybody, I want to get more yards. But the value that running backs add to your chances of winning football games isn't that great, number one. Number two, it's not that different across the spectrum of running backs. And so it's as simple as that. It's really not complicated. I don't get all the discourse there's been over the past week. Everybody complaining and say, oh, and I know Austin Eckler, and I like Austin Eckler. He was on Twitter when somebody tweeted something about running back value. This is the kind of garbage that's out there. It's the reason why we don't get contracts, on and on and on. No, it's because it's true. Like, it's because it's true. So, you know, with the Bucs, here's the thing. This is what I'm worried about. Yeah, I think Todd Bowles is thinking that, you know, the running game is going to play a major role in what we do, and that's the problem. That's not what needs to happen, and if that is what you think is our ticket to being good, then it's going to be a long season. If that's what he thinks is our ticket to being good. But we got plenty of time to break all that down. In the meantime, it's good to be back, folks. Good to hear my voice again, let's put it that way. So we'll be back next week. People will be reporting early next week. In the meantime, enjoy your weekend here. And if you want to get in touch with me, again, at Bobby Game Day on Twitter, email bobbygameday@yahoo.com. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform, the best place anywhere for Bucks coverage, TV, internet, or radio. And you can always, always count on fresh content, fresh material. It's my pleasure to be on the site in front of all you guys. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week. Have a great weekend. Be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.